Drink from your fountains that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let's sing it one more time. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Father, once again, we give you thanks and praise. Once again, Lord, we look to thee, Lord, to give us revelation, to give us understanding, to give us wisdom and guidance. We just ask that you would bless each one now, Lord, that you would take the word as it's spoken, Lord, and quicken it to our hearts. Lord, give us, let us lay aside our own thoughts and our own words, Lord, that you might take over and that you might speak. And Lord, that you're able to take a human vessel and speak, Lord. You're also able to take a human vessel and to understand the revelation, Lord. Understand the word for the hour, for the day. Lord, it's you speaking and it's you hearing and it's you seeing. It's you understanding. Lord, it's you in all things. And Lord, may you just have your way. Bless those that would listen in. Those, Lord, that are away. We commit each one to you now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. And we just, we thank the Lord. We're going to set this up here. And I hadn't talked to Brother Goomba in a few days, but I guess all was going well for him. And we did talk on Sunday. You know, it's this age that we're living in now. We use our words are different. Used to when you said you talked to somebody, that meant you talked to them. You spoke to them and they spoke back to you. And now I find myself saying, when we text somebody or talk to them on WhatsApp or whatever, I'll find myself, yeah, I talked to them. When we're not, we did, but it's a different age. You know, in days gone by, you only talked when you talked. And early in this age, you still, when they came with the phone, you still were talking. But now you can just put your words right there. And so it's different how the technology has come and how things have come. But we see the spiritual side of it, and that's the beauty of the message today, is that that there is a spiritual side of everything that's going on. We look at the mess and the politics. We look at the corruption in the government. We look at the perversion that's in society, and that's it's coming to the schools. And that's been something I'm marveling. I'm as I've been talking about these things, and I'm to family, friends, other people, and most of the time, that the people that think like the left thinks, they don't even believe that these things are out there. It's like, they don't listen to the news. They don't know the things that are going on. And you tell them and say, oh no, it's there. I have family members that are experienced it. I know these people. I see it online. I see that it's in the school and I see the perversion that's taking place. And they're like, you can tell they don't believe what you're saying. They don't even believe what you're saying, that it's even there. That perversion is even there. They're saying, well, I haven't seen it. I don't know. Where do you get that stuff from? And, And so it amazes me. It just amazes me. And so, but there's always a scripture that comes to me, and it's, and you hate to keep saying it, but the when they continue to reject, when they continue to deny the word of God and the manifestation of God in the age that we live in, then the scripture says, and the prophet says, that God turns them over to a reprobate mind, and they would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And so it don't matter how much you think that your truth is going to set them free. It's not going to set them free, because they're beyond that. They've been seared. They've been seared with a hot iron, and they're not even interested. They don't even care. They have an idea, and they're going to keep that idea. And you just aggravate them when you talk about it. And so, but we thank God. That's the reason that when believers come together, that fellowship is sweet, because they speak a language, a heavenly language. They speak a revelation, and they're able to believe what God has said in this day. And it's a kindred spirit. It's a fellowship. It's something, a revelation that you're sharing and that you're a part of, and you're a part of that manifestation of that attribute of God. So this is I think this is still in the Pergamon church age here, because he's talking about Balaam. Sorry, somehow or another I didn't even notice that I knocked out the quote. But we had last Wednesday, we was talking about Balaam and some of those things, and I want to continue a little bit on that, but I'm going to go away from the church ages book a little bit into a couple of messages, into God of this evil age, to anointed ones at the end time, and to thinking man's filter. And Brother Branham mentions Balaam in these three places, and there's a lot more, but just I was trying to just take some short excerpts, but one of them is a little bit longer, and on the same thing, to just to look at this thought that he's expressing here. So let's begin. Now Israel no doubt had seen the feast of the Egyptians, so that they did not feel it was too wrong to go and just look on, see, and perhaps eat with the people. Now he's talking about that what Balaam did, the deception that Balaam did. And remember, Brother Branham said that what Balaam's idea was, what Balaam did, God wouldn't let him curse him. So Balaam come up with this idea that would force God to judge them and to bring them into judgment. So he knew how to bring them into sin. And so he knew what he was doing. He was inspired by the devil. And so that we see this spirit that was in that day, it repeated over and over and over. It repeated in the church ages. It repeats in this day. And so Satan uses that to deceive. And so he's saying here that they're invited now to go worship, to go fellowship with this other group. And now their brethren, the Moabites and the children of Israel, they're family, they're brethren. And so they don't see anything wrong with it. And he's pointing out here that when they were in Egypt, they had seen all of these feasts, they had seen all these worship, they'd seen all these things, and they thought, well, it's not so bad. But it was. But this, especially Egypt, because that was even worse, they were worshiping another god. Here, it didn't seem so bad, because now they're claiming the same God, and they're doing the same sacrifice. They're doing the same everything, and so it's a totally different thing. And look how deceiving that it is. So what's wrong with fellowship anyway? See, we're supposed to love them, aren't we? And how can we win them? See, being friendly never hurt anyone, or so they thought. Now, we've thought that same thing. We're thinking, oh, it's good to be friendly. It's good to have fellowship. It's good to share. It's good to do all those things. It's also, there's a time to have that fellowship, there's a time to have that witness, and there's also a time to separate. There's also a time that God doesn't want you to. And Brother Branham, that's what he's saying here. And he said here over and over, he said, there was a sin here that God never did forgive him. And he said, when Balaam taught them that they were all one, and Brother Branham said, we're not. We are a separated people. Abraham was a separated, and he had to separate from his father. And, you know, when God called him to separate, when God wanted him to go out, he brought Lot. He brought his daddy. He brought all that. And look, God never blessed him until his daddy died and he separated from Lot. And he told Lot when they went out there and they had so much substance. And we can't imagine the sheep and the goats and all that they had. Because I was reading earlier today that where one of the kings was paying homage to another one, and he was just a small king, and he was paying homage to another king, kind of like a tax. And so every year he would give 100,000 sheep, and then the bulls and all this other stuff, and that was just the sheep, 100,000. And I thought, that's a massive amount. That's a massive amount to give, and then you have your country to feed, and they have theirs, but the amount of sheep that they had in those days was a lot. And so that's the reason why they were arguing over the water. They were arguing over the grass. They argued over all these things. And so that's what began to happen with Lot and with Abraham. And so Lot told him, said, we're brethren. We're brethren here. Let's not fight. And so Abraham gave him his choice of what he wanted. He said, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And so Lot, he lifted up his eyes and he seen the plush grass and the water and well-watered land. And he seen the best of it there. And he said, this is where I'll go. And so Abraham went the rough way. He went where there was less water and there was less grass and to the mountainside, the rough side. But the difference was, look at what happened to them when they separated. Lot got down there in Sodom and was exposed to all of that. Lot's daughters married those men there. And they had, you know, I can't prove that. I haven't looked that up. But I will say that they weren't identified. They had that same spirit. Let me say it that way. They had that same spirit. Because when the angels came to Lot, they said, if you have anybody here, you go get them and you bring them in. Bring them in here and we'll take them out. And so he went to his son-in-laws and he tried to bring them. And the scripture says that they mocked him, that he was as if one just making fun or what. They didn't take him serious. That's what happened. They didn't take him serious. So Lot was living down there in that, in the place where the judgment was fallen. His daughters had married into that. That was another thing that that God didn't want in the days of Balaam, is for them to marry and to marry into those people. They were always a separated people. And so you say, well, you just preached last week about being led of the Spirit and doing that which is different, how Boaz, he stepped out there. And that's exactly what it is. It's exactly that being led of the Spirit, being led of God in the time, in the day, in the age that you live in. And Boaz was able to do that. They had a law. They had a law. They had something that told them, don't do this, and don't do that. They had all of that. But then when God wanted to do something, then God had somebody who he would lay upon their heart. He could move them by the Spirit. And so we've seen the examples of that throughout. But now, and this is what we was trying to get across the other day, now we are in the bright age. And in the bright age, it's not just a prophet or just one here and one there. It's a body. It's a body, and it's a bride body. And that bride is being moved by the Spirit of God. This is the This is the climax of the thing. This is the ultimate. This is where God is bringing the bride to. This is where he's been bringing himself to, because as he started there in the manifestation, in the beginning, he began to display his attributes. And so he did it in the Father. He did it in the Son. He did it in the Holy Ghost. But he's doing somewhere now too. And that's, he's doing it in the bride. And I was thinking about that going down the road today. And you, Brother Branham always talked about Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. He said, God is perfect in three. He said, three is perfection. Isn't that what he always said? But then what did he say? And then after the three stages, he said, always it's three stages. He said, then comes the rapture. Then comes perfection. Then comes the sinless bride. He did the same thing with the wheat plant. He did the stalk, tassel, husk. And he said, then comes the seed. So it come through those three stages to get to the perfection, to get to it. So it was always in that stage after where the perfection was. And so I had just thought about that today, and I was thinking about this message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, because that's what it's coming down to. It's coming down to he was manifesting himself. When that Logos came out of God, then God began to express, the Father began to express, and here comes the Son, here comes the Word, and he's beginning to express himself. And then he comes again in the Holy Ghost through the church ages, but where is it now? This is the bride. This is the bride, Brother Branham said, is himself made manifest. It's himself made manifest. This is that perfection. This is that sinless body. And there's no way we could do that in ourselves. There's no way any of us could come to any kind of perfection or any kind of sinless place. It's himself that's being manifested. It's himself that is bringing forth the revelation in this day. So what was wrong? Let's see. Let me drop down. So being friendly never hurt anyone, or so they thought. But when those sexy Moabitish women began to dance and undress while they whirled around doing their rock and roll and twist, the lust rose up in the Israelites, and they were drawn into adultery. And God in wrath slew 42,000 of them. And actually it was 24,000, but he said 42 here. But, and we're going to read it. I wanted to include this scripture here. So it really shows you the wrath of God coming down on this group of people. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. What did they call them to? Unto the sacrifices of their gods. Come and worship with us. Come and worship God with us. See? And the people did eat. They partake. And bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor. And the anger of God was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And, you know, in those days, when they would kill somebody and it was something like this, they actually cut their heads off and they hung their heads. They hung their heads up. You'll say, well, they did that to kings that they didn't like or whatever, or they wanted to shame them. And that's what God is saying here. He's telling them, take them, take their heads and put them out there. Hang them up so the people can see, so the people can fear, so the people can know that I'm not pleased with this, that I'm not pleased with this whatsoever. See, hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his man. Every one of you, you elders, go through your tribe. Elders, go through your tribe, go through your tribe. And get every one of them that have committed this fornication. Slay you every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping. Here, these are weeping. They're seeing this sin. And here comes one in with one of these women, weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And I'm sorry, my computer keeps jumping here. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went in after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. Think. And their heads was put out there to put into the people how bad this thing was. Now, Brother Branham's going on now in the Pergamon Church Age. You the quote we just read, and then I added the scripture, but the quote we just read, now he's coming to this. And that is what Constantine and his successors did at Nicaea and after Nicaea. Brother Branham said those prophets came in out of the woods. Those believers came in there. They come in. He said they never should have. He said they should have stayed out of it. Maybe they come in there thinking they was going to help. They was thinking that they were going to change their mind or teach them the truth of the revelation. He said they shouldn't even have went. That thing was inspired by Satan. That thing was there to deceive the ages, to deceive the people. They came out, they ended up with a Trinitarian doctrine, and you see the way it's gone. It was, they wanted to mix that thing together. Constantine was doing the same thing. He wanted, that's the reason you got your Christmas, that's the reason you got all this other. He wanted to bring the Christians and the unbelievers together, and so he made the, he brought the holidays together, he brought those things together, those times of worship together, and so that they would all be one. And you just have to change a little bit. And I've talked to people over and over, and even recently about Christmas, and it's like, as long as your heart is right, it don't matter what you're doing. That's not how it is. If that was how it is, then sincerity, everyone who's sincere would be a believer. Everyone who's sincere would have eternal life. Everyone who's sincere would go in. It ain't going to be like that. It's not going to be like that. You're not going to. That's just a social gospel. That's just a social idea, a fellowship, and all that it is. See, and that is what Constantine and his successors did at Nicaea and after Nicaea. They invited the people of God to the convention. And when the church sat down to eat and rose up to play, see, partaking of church form. So when you say rose up to play, he's not just talking about they were playing games. They weren't just playing Monopoly. They weren't just playing some other Scrabble or some other game. No, they were partaking of church form, church ceremonies, and pagan feast. They were partaking of those religious things. See? And named after Christian rites. And she was trapped. She had committed fornication, and God walked out. Who walked out? Did they walk out? No, God walked out. God walked out. God's not going to be in that. No. When any man turns from the word of God and joins a church instead of receiving the Holy Spirit, that man dies dead. Huh? As soon as you deny the word, As soon as you join with something else, you die. Right there, you die. That is what he is. Don't join the church. Don't get into organization and get taken up with creeds and traditions or anything that takes the place of the Word and the Spirit, or you're dead. It's all over. You're dead, eternally separated from God. We don't want no organization. We don't want no creeds. We don't want no tradition. We don't want none of that. We want the Word. And the Word is alive. The Word is quickening power. The Word is that which will lead you and guide you day by day. It's what's moving the body. The living Word, the Spirit of God, is moving the body of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're eternally separated. In God of this evil age. This evil age is of darkness, yet belongs to church. There's the deception. It's religious. It's religious. Everybody believes in God, but they deny the Word. See, their God, they love Him for it. The way He lets them do. Huh? You go into these forms, into these creeds, into these traditions, and you go into these churches and you eat, you raise up to play, you partake of these things, and what are they doing? They're telling you there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. We worship God. These things don't mean anything. See, they have no condemnation. Let me back up. Their God, they love Him for it the way He lets them do. They have no condemnation. Nothing bothers them as long as they belong to church. That's exactly what people believe. They have that idea. And they don't even have to go. They belong. They have a letter. They have a letter. They give their letter to the church, and then they don't have to, they don't even have to go. And they're just a believer because they say they are. See? Balaam taught the church the same thing. Same thing. He was teaching it before Nicaea. Same thing they taught at Nicaea. Balaam was already teaching it. The same thing was happening. The same thing in this last day. Same thing. That's what he was teaching. Same thing taking place. Balaam taught the church the same thing. Let us unite. We're all the same. That's it. Didn't he just say that's the last trick? Didn't he just say that's the last trick? Yes, it is. See, I'm sorry. I've done lost my place. I keep messing up my God of this evil age. Paragraph 143. Balaam taught the church the same thing. Let us unite. We're all the same. It was the last trick. See, God never forgave them for believing such a lie. God never forgave them for believing such a lie. Remember, it was an unpardonable sin. Three times in the Bible, for any persons to add one word of their own interpretation to God's word after it had been vindicated the truth. That's right. In the Garden of Eden, right? In the Garden of Eden, one word added caused death. When Balaam added the word that we're all the same. You're getting it? That's exactly what the denominations are saying. And every one of them are different. They say we're all the same, and they're everyone different. And they every one of them take you away from the word, from the revelation, by changing one word. They're everyone in the scripture, every one of them. But they just change one word. See, when Balaam added that word, we're all the same, God never did forgive Israel for that. Every one of them perished in the wilderness, except the three that God brought out. Was it Joshua and Caleb? Moses. That's it. He said they're everyone dead. Jesus said it. The prophet confirmed it. That when Jesus said they're everyone dead, he said, Brother Branham interpreted that scripture and he said they are eternally separated from God. Eternally. Jesus said they're everyone dead. That's eternally separated. They're all gone. Never was forgiven. It's an unpardonable sin. Never forgiven them. Oh my. Flee it, children of the evening lights. He's talking to us. He's talking to the children of the evening light. This is a uniting time. This is also a time of separation. This is being one with the word. It's separating from every creed, from every dogma, from every lie. It's separating from all of that. Paragraph 65 in Anointed Ones at the End Time. Now God had promised Abraham that his seed would be a stranger in a strange land for 400 years. Just think what he told Abraham way back there, that the people were gonna be in this land, be slaves in this land. And God was going to bring him out with a great hand. This is the beauty of the revelation of God. How that God would speak something back there and it come hundreds or thousands of years later and be exactly as it was spoken. Exactly, God revealing that which was spoken back there. In a strange land for 400 years, then he would bring him out with the great hand of might and power and show his signs and wonders amongst the people that they dwelt with. See, the time of the promise drew nigh. People had forgot about it. They had Pharisees and Sadducees and so forth, denominations. But all of a sudden, there come God alone and drawn out away from any of them. See, God never in any day, listen to this, never in any day or at any time ever called a prophet out of an organization or out of a denomination. No, sir. He's so twisted up, he couldn't do it. He'd have to stay with that denomination. That's right. Just like Balaam, he's thirsting for that fame. He's thirsting for that popularity. He's thirsting for that position, for that money, whatever it is he's going to gain out of it. He gets so strung up in that and that pressure and that pressure that comes with it. Moses, a man sent from God with the word of God and on his journey, taking Israel into the promised land, strictly with the commandment of God. He met another prophet, another anointed one that had a genuine anointing of the same Holy Spirit that was upon Moses. Here is Moses, got a commission from God, the call of God, anointed of God, give the people a law, brought him through the Red Sea, brought him out under all of these supernatural circumstances. And here he is coming, he's passing through a land, and he meets another prophet, huh? Another anointed one that had a genuine anointing of the same Holy Spirit that was upon Moses. Think about that. Think about how deceiving that is. Think about how enticing that is when somebody is saying that about having that fellowship. And here they are face to face. It's their brethren. They have the same sacrifice. They have the same altar. They both have an anointed prophet with the anointing of the same Spirit of God, both of them. And now God is so disappointed in this that he kills 24,000 of them in one day. In one day. See? On his journey, taking Israel into the promised land, strictly with the commandment of God, he met another prophet, another anointed one that had a genuine anointing of the same Holy Spirit that was upon Moses. That's right. He was a prophet, and the Holy Spirit was upon this man, and his name was Balaam, and we're all acquainted with him. That's right. Well, the very things, the things that the man said is still taking place about 2,800 years ago. See, thou art like a unicorn, O Israel, and whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. Your strength and mighty, how righteous are thy tents, O Jacob. What a prophecy. What a prophecy. To think, that's been all the way through. That's been all the way through the same. And it's the same today. This prophecy of Balaam is still true today. See, he couldn't help himself. He come there proposing in his heart to curse the people. Oh, you false teachers, listening to these tapes all of these years and seeing God confirm exactly what he said, and you sat in your study. Listen to what he's saying now. You sat in your study and you know that it's the truth. And because of your denominational differences, you dispute them and tell your people they're not so. Woe unto you. Your time is close at hand. Think about that. Think about it's the same today. Exactly the same today. The same thing that was happening through the church ages. Those preachers, those ministers, they sat right there. They read the same Bible. They said they read the same Bible. They knowed what it was right. They knowed what was wrong. And they went right on in it. You look at it come up into the Pentecostal age, and you look at the denominations. You look at those denominational preachers. They come right out there with the same thing. They're reading the same message. They're reading the same Bible. And they know that it's the truth. But their church don't teach it. But their church don't believe it. So instead of correcting the church, instead of correcting the lie, instead of correcting what's wrong, they don't. They'll argue for it. They'll argue it. No, they won't accept it. That's the message now. What we saw in those denominations, that's the message now. The same arguments are being had. The same people are sit. The same preachers are in their study and they're reading the message and they know that the prophet said it. They know that he said it. But what is it? There's big groups. There's big groups in the message. And if you teach contrary to what they believe, then you're going to be put out of their social group. You lose your social standing. And that's what God don't want. That's the difference in the bride, because the Word of God will make you stand alone. It will make you stand with the Word. It will make you, it don't matter who don't like it. It don't matter who teaches differently. It don't matter if there's 10 million message believers, believes the prophet, believes the message, believes the mysteries, and they deny one word, you're going to stand on that one word. You're not going to go with them just because that they're 99% right. That's the trick of the devil. That's the trick. That's exactly what Brother Branham said in the message, How Can I Overcome? He said, how do you overcome? He said, recognize every trick of the devil. There's only one way you can do that, and that's by revelation. That's by God in you, the teacher in you, revealing himself, revealing every word. Oh, you false teachers, listening to these tapes all these years, seeing God confirm exactly what he said. How about that? They see the confirmation of it. They see the supernatural. They see everything that God has done. What did Korah and Dathan see? They seen Moses deliver them. They seen God open the Red Sea. They seen the supernatural. They seen things. They seen, they were drinking the water out of the rock. And they still denied that Moses was the mouthpiece of God. They still deny that's the one. That was their argument. We're all holy. That was the truth. They are all holy. All of you are holy. All of us are holy. But there was only one prophet. And every one of us are hearing that. There's only one. Brother Branham said there's one gift to the age, to the dispensation. I don't care how many preachers you get, how many gifts you get, how many everything else you get. There was one, the gift, God himself. Let me read it one more time. Oh, you false teachers, listening to these tapes all these years, he knew they were doing it, and seeing God confirm exactly what he said, and you said in your study, and you know it's the truth, and because of your denominational differences, you dispute them and tell your people they're not so, woe unto you. Your time is close at hand. Balaam anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. Now, this is the second time. It's another message here saying it. What was the difference? The teaching of Moses was perfect. Now he's gonna nail, he's nailing it down now. He's nailing it down. What was the difference? If they both were anointed with the same spirit, they both were prophesying a true prophecy. What was the difference? What was the problem? It was the teaching. Balaam anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. What was the difference? The teaching of Moses was perfect. The Bible said here in 2 Peter, it was the teaching of Balaam that Israel received that God never did forgive. That was it. The teaching. And it's in this message that Brother Branham revealed these things about the teaching. This is part of the revelation of this message right here. It was the teaching. And there's a quote here, and I didn't get to go pull it out. But we'll just read this one. See, it was the teaching of Balaam that Israel received that God never did forgive. Unpardonable sin. Not one of them got saved. Though they had come out under the blessings of God, they had seen the hand of God moving by his mighty prophet, and they seen it exactly vindicated by God. And because another prophet come in with a teaching contrary and disputed with Moses and tried to prove to the people that Moses was wrong. And Dathan and Korah, many of them agreed with him and taught the children of Israel to commit fornications and to go after his organization. See, that we're all the same. Whether we're Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, what more? We're all the same. We're not the same. We are a separated people, holy unto the Lord, dedicated to the Word and the Spirit of God, to bear fruit of His promise of this day. That's right. What did Jesus say? You shall know them by their fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. And this is the message, Anointed Ones, where Brother Branham revealed what the fruit was. He said, what's the fruit? He said, it's their teaching. It's their teaching. They're getting off. And it only has to be one word off. Only one word off, and it's death. You're not the same. You are a separated people, holy unto the Lord, dedicated to the Word and the Spirit of God, to bear fruit of His promise of this day. And you're not of them. I know that's awful strong. But that's the truth, just the same. Dedicated to a service in this last days. What are you? Dedicated to a service. Dedicated to God. Dedicated to the body of Jesus Christ. Dedicated to the moving of the Spirit of God. To manifest His attribute in this hour. See? Dedicated to a service in this last days. Come out from amongst it. See? Now the teaching of Balaam. Not the prophecy. See, that was all right. The prophecy was all right. That was true then. It's still true today. Perfect. The prophecy was perfect. But the teaching of Balaam, that we're all one. Let's unite. Let us marry together. Let us do this and this and this. You go back and you watch that. You can watch it in the Kings. You watch those kings and how that they would marry. And I think it was, I'm not sure. I think it was Jehoshaphat. But he, I'm not going to say, I might have it confused with Jeroboam, but they're with Ahab, and they got mixed up, these two kings. One of them was a real believer, and one of them was not a real believer. One of them was an evil man, and Ahab was over the 10 tribes, and Jehoshaphat was over the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And so you watch how they begin to come together for different reasons, and they begin to have in fellowship. They begin to get together, and they would help each other. They'd go to war together, and they start having eating and fellowship and doing all these things. And then you watch the daughter and the son marry from these two. And watch where it goes. This one. His father the Bible says, did that which was right in the Lord. And then the next generation, he didn't do everything that was right in the sight of the Lord. And then you watch it go one more, and they're completely evil. It keeps repeating. That's what happened. You mix with that. It's just like, The scripture telling us, be not unequally yoked. What happens when you do that? It's gonna rub off. You can't help it. It's gonna rub off. You got two different beliefs raising your children. There's no way that you can avoid that. It's going to rub off, and it's going to take the grace of God. It's going to take the grace of God to overcome that thing. And one of them was one of the kings there. He was a young boy when he came in, and he was led by his mother. And so I think there was somewhere where there was one that was a righteous one, and his mother led him in a righteous way. But this one, she was evil. She was evil and made him do evil. And so that's the way. So we know God's going to get his seed. But at the same time, we want to be led. We don't want to get caught up in those things. We want to be a separated people. See, the teaching of Balaam, not the prophecy of Balaam, that was all right. That was God. Huh? The prophecy was God. Now, how many believes that? See, the prophecy of Balaam was exactly right because he couldn't speak nothing else. The anointing of God wouldn't speak nothing else. And God vindicated it by proving it was the truth. See? Praise God. But it was the teaching of Balaam. Now compare that with Matthew 24, 24. Anointed ones. But their teaching is false. The Trinities and all the things like that, wrong. See? Antichrist. Now, I hope I don't hurt your feelings. And don't turn them phones off and don't get up and go out. Just set still. Let's see if the Holy Spirit, hold on, I want you to just listen to this. And let's see if the Holy Spirit won't reveal it to us and prove it to us. See? And you say, but just whatever you believe, just set still and listen. And ask God to open your heart. And then you'll find out whether you're a briar or a thistle or whatever, wherever you're standing. That's right. He'll put the mirror of God's word right there in front of you and you can see what you are. Amen. A thinking man's filter. We're going to try to get this in here. Now, notice a man looking at her, pretty red lips, painted face and shorts and bikinis and ever what she's got, a real thinking man won't look at her. Now, a man that's a church member will look at her, admire her. But I don't care how she looks to the eye, a thinking man will turn his head. Why? He's been through God's filter. And he knows to look at her, upon her, is adultery in his heart. Huh? Yeah. How much more powerful today than it was back there? See? Why? He's been through God's filter. And he knows to look upon her is adultery in his heart. He don't think she's pretty. Say, isn't she a pretty thing? Not to him, not to a son of God. See, she's a filthy looking, miserable, Jezebel wretch to a thinking man. A son of God looks upon her with shame that he even belongs to the family that she belongs to. That's right. How could that be my sister and act like that? Amen. A lot of people, they leave this part of the message out, but it's part of it. And just as we are supposed to be a witness, to be a light, to be led of the Spirit, there's also a separation. There's also a separation from anything contrary to this word, from anything contrary to God. See, she pulled through one filter and he come through another. He won't think she's pretty, not at all. That's not beauty to a real man of God. I remember one time before the blood of Jesus Christ become the filter, as we'll get to in a few minutes. And this is the message here where he talks about the blood. And as this is, there was revelation in anointed ones at the end time, there was revelation. And this message right here, Brother Branham He found a cigarette pack in the woods. And he's talking about a thinking man's filter. And you think this is just a little simple message, and, like an evangelistic message, of thinking and doing. But in this message, let's read that again. One time before the blood of Jesus Christ became the filter, as we'll get to in a few minutes. This is the message where Brother Branham said that the blood was shed for seven church ages. And then, after the seven church ages, the blood was shed for seven church ages. And then we enter into fellowship. With who? With God. We enter into the kingdom. We enter into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. After the blood, after the book is opened, after the blood is removed, after the sin is removed, after there's no more sin, there's no more condemnation, there's no more anything. No. Behind this simple thought is a very deep message. I remember one time before the blood of Jesus Christ became the filter, as we'll get to in a few minutes, the sons of God, they looked upon the daughters of man, that they were fair, and they taken unto them wives. And God never did forgive it. Huh? Brother M says three times. There it was, all the way back there at the very beginning, when the sons of God looked on the daughters of Cain. When they looked on that. Then he come right along into Balaam. Then the same thing. The sons of God looked upon the daughters of men, that they were fair, and taken unto them wives. God never did forgive it. Again it happened in the march of Israel, and God never did forgive them. Every one of them perished. Right there. A thinking man's filter. I come out of the meeting here. There was a little Ricky standing back here behind the church one night, and he said to me about 3 or 4 years ago, and the reason you say that, you're an old man. Said, I think they look nice. I said, I can imagine that from just the looks of him, the way he was dressed and the way he's acting. Yeah, you can tell. You look at the way a woman's dressed, you can tell what spirit's on her. You look at the way a man's dressed, you can tell what spirit's on him. And especially now, it's so bad. See, I said, let me tell you something. How old are you? About 30 years old. I said, when I was 15 years younger than you, I thought the same thing. Right. It's still filth. That's right. A thinking man's filter. Now, this story, Brother Branham told it a number of times, but this boy come up, this man come up, he said he's about 30 years old. He come up to him and said, I think they look nice, rebuking the prophet. And the prophet took him back to when he was a teenager, that he had already had the new birth and he already had the nature of God to know it was wrong, to be able to condemn it. And Brother Branham, when Brother Branham doesn't say it here, but I read it in another quote somewhere a long time ago, where Brother Branham said, when I was 15 years younger than you, I believed the same thing. And Brother Branham said, he dropped his head and walked away. Why? He knows. He knows. That's right. He thought he was going to put it on the prophet. Oh, you're an old man, so you're not interested. No. When I was 15 years old, in my prime, I knew it was wrong. A thinking man's filter. Now notice, if he has been, his mind filtered through the Word of God, God's filter, he won't look upon her. He won't think she's pretty. He'll think she's a Jezebel. He'll think behind those red lips is poison fangs that would sting him. And the Bible said her gates is the gates of hell. And a man walks into them like an ox going to the slaughter. There's a thinking man's filter. That's right. That's right. those are strong words. All three of those quotes in those three messages are strong. They're very strong. But they're exactly on. They're exactly right on with the revelation. It's strong. It's powerful. It's just, and there's two sides. to everything. And I tell you, that's another thing. We can push something, and I know something here, and this is something else I really thought about today. I was listening to a message, and it really hit me hard that I've really, on free moral agency, I've really pushed hard on that. Because when talking about the spiritual side of it, if you're a seed of God, brother, it comes down to the seed. That's what it comes down to. But you are the one. I mean, God is the one who chose you before the foundation of the world. And for you to see this revelation, God has to draw you. He has to put something in you. He has to do it. So when you're saying free moral agency, then if you make that out like it's your choice, when it comes to salvation, that was done before the foundation of the world. So, but when you talk about your free will, and I know they go together, but I'm going to say the word free will because you make choices every day. Every one of us make choices every day. And this prophet made choices. He made choices, and his choices was examples for us. And so we can say that it don't matter what I do because I'm saved. No, your choices will have consequences. Brother Branham made a choice. He made a choice to please his mother-in-law, to please his wife, and not so much his wife as it was his mother-in-law. His mother-in-law told her daughter, said, if you go with him, your mother's going to die with a broken heart. And she complained and she talked bad to him and she did all kinds of things. And the pain and the suffering that Brother Branham went through because of that choice, he made that choice. It wasn't affecting whether he was a son of God. He was a son of God, always a son of God. But he made a choice. He made a choice when God had opened the door to put him out there. And later on, Brother Branham said that he said, this would have been much advanced had I went back then. He said, it would have been much advanced if I would have went then. He said, but I failed God. And so he said a lot of things. He said a lot of things about that. And when you can say, you know, that all things work together for good. That's right. But our choices have consequences. Every choice we make has a consequence. And that choice for Brother Branham had great consequences. It was devastating. It was devastating. He named off. I don't remember all of them now, but I think first his father died in his arms. Then his brother died in his other brother's arms. And he talked about how the things that he went through, what happened. I can't remember now. His kidney flipped, some other things, and he died. And then the flood came. Then he lost his wife. Then he lost his daughter. And so it was just one thing after another, after another. And so when he was out there, on the boat, and his motor wouldn't start, and he's going down, the current's taking him down the Ohio River, and he's coming to the falls. And if he had went over those falls, they would have crushed him on the rocks below. And said he was trying, said he was caught in the current, and it was just sweeping him down. You know, it was just a massive flood, and the current was strong, and he's pulling and pulling and pulling, and it won't crank. And every time he pulled, the only thing he could think of is when he failed to go, is when he failed to go when God sent him out. He knew that's what it was. And when he owned up to it, and he kept saying, Lord, I know I should have went. I did this, I did that. And he finally said, Lord, if you'll just forgive me. If you would just forgive me, and the boat cranked, and he just barely made it from going over the falls. Said he was just right at the falls, and then when he came back, his wife was dying, And he thought, he thought it was over there. But then here's his wife dying. And she told him, she said, "Billy, you know where we went wrong." And she didn't even have to say it. He knew. What was it? He made a choice. So there's another side. On the spiritual side, you're predestinated, elected, a child of God. And there's no way that you cannot accept this message. You can go the hard way, but you're going to come to this message. You can fight it. You can be caught up in whatever you're caught up in and fight it a lot. But God will get you if you're seed. But then we make choices every day. And those choices, we can dally with the world if we want to. We can dally with this if we want to. You watch. Those things have consequences. All of those things. There's just so many things I could say, and I don't want to go into it. Just people feel like you're prying in their business, and I don't want to do that. But I'm telling you, God, we make choices that, it come to my mind, and I mentioned this here just a while back. It's been a little while, but when Brother Branham, when Danny Henry prophesied over Brother Branham, and he said, "Thou hast chosen the harder way." And he said, "This was of your own choosing." During that time, I was preaching on free moral agency, and I was nailing it down. I was nailing it to the seed, because that's what it is. If there's a seed there, if there's no seed there's nothing there to quicken, there's nothing going to happen. You will never be able to come to God. But if there's a seed there's nothing that can keep you from coming to God. And so you're not the master of your destiny in that sense. But at the same time, God puts you on free will where you make decisions every day. And he said that he made that decision. He made that decision to go that way. And so Brother Branham suffered so much. He suffered so much. And sometimes it didn't just seem like too much. But God sometimes will make a wrong decision because we need a lesson. We need something that's going to put us in that position. I've seen people many times with like paying tithes. They can't, they won't, they don't do that. And you watch them. I've seen people that have potential. They have jobs, potential that they could be very well off. But they're always having problems. They're always having problems because they don't pay tithes. They don't want to pay tithes. They won't give God his part. And so you watch them and you watch their life, and you don't want to say something, because especially if you're a minister, you don't want to say something, because you watch people get into that rut, and then they think you're after their money, and that's not it. But I've seen it over and over and over, and I watch people, and they'll have one problem after another after another after another, and it eats their money. And if they didn't have all of those problems, then they would be financially set. They would have a big bank account. They would have any could have anything they want. But they have a constant. It's just a constant. I've seen people that just refuse. And the issues that come to them. And you feel sorry, you feel bad, and you think somewhere they're gonna pick it up. Somewhere they're gonna the and they will. Is their seed they're gonna they'll get it together. Somewhere we'll get it together. But it could be anything. It doesn't have to be that. It could be anything. Maybe you like listening to the wrong kind of music. You say, "Well, I don't think there's any difference what you listen." Oh, there is. Brother Branham said there is. Brother Branham condemned it. He condemned that stuff, this Elvis Presley stuff. He said it was already in the jungles of Africa. He said he got back in there and he said they were listening to that stuff. And the witch doctor, I mean the pastors in those remote back in the bush said, "Brother Branham, that's the same beat that the witch doctors use in their rituals." Elvis Presley didn't know that, but the devil that inspired it knew it. It's the same devil, It's the same devil. Brother Branham said that those guys that they play at the bar on Saturday night and then they play in the church on Sunday, he said they shouldn't be allowed. He said they shouldn't be allowed at all. That's another deception. It's another deception. Oh, it's good guys. Man, you see how beautiful. Elvis Presley's a beautiful singer. Gospel, beautiful. Beautiful gospel singing. Oh, yeah. That's right. Brother Branham said he's the devil. The prophet said he sold his soul. He sold his soul. Pentecostal. Sorry if this seems kind of rough tonight, but it's just there. Oh, I think we used our time, didn't we? Okay, I'm gonna back up here in this. Let's see, where are we at? In Pergamon Church Age 206, paragraph 3. I'm going to read that one more time and we're going to close. This is what has happened in every age. How many? Every age. Every age since. God delivers the people. They come out by the blood, sanctified by the word. They walk through the waters of separation, waters of baptism, and get filled with the Spirit. But after a while, the first love cools off. And someone gets the idea that they ought to organize in order to preserve themselves and make a name for themselves. And they organize themselves right back in the second generation and sometimes even before then. They no longer have the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? As soon as we take something and we make it a doctrine, we make it, this is, you got to believe this. And if you believe this, then you got the Holy Ghost. We have denominated ourselves. You got to come to this church. You got to do that. Yeah, there's people who believe that. I used to be real close to that. Real close to that. My wife, one day she was listening to a message and she told me, I got a quote I want you to hear. Brother Branham said, when you think that somebody has to come to your church to be saved, he said, you are lost. Lost. They no longer have the Spirit of God, just a form of worship. They're dead. That's right. See? They have hybridized themselves with creed and form, and there is no life in them. That's right. Oh my. All right. Let's stand together, and I'm going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we know maybe these words seem harsh tonight, but Lord, they go right together. There's a continuity between them, from message to message to message, from the scripture to the message and the message to the scripture. Lord, how Satan has deceived and how Satan has pulled people and got them to look away from the revelation. Look away from you, Lord. Look away from this leadership of the Holy Ghost in the day and the age. Lord, don't let us get sidetracked. Lord, we look at what that prophet went through. Lord, he did it for us, an example for us to learn from his mistakes, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Lord, that you want a people that are 100% sold out, that you have the preeminence, Lord, that you could lead them and guide them, that you can move them by your Spirit. You can move them by your word. You can move them, Lord, any direction that you want them to go. Not by some law or some creed or some form, but Lord, just strictly by your presence. Oh God, draw us, guide us, Bless each one tonight, Lord, those that are here, those that are not able. Lord, as we commit all to you, we ask your blessings, your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.